Okay, so we're on Daf Nudvav tonight. This is Nedarim Nudvav 56a. Okay, so beginning on the top line in Vav Manala. So Manitin Hanodir Ben Abayit. If a person takes a neder, then he's not going to enter Abayit. I think somebody needs to be muted. Let me help them out. One second. Let me try to find this here. One second. All right. Anyway. One second. All right, let me go on.
We're all muted.
Oh, you're all muted. Okay. I know they're going to buy. So, a person takes a neder, he's not going to enter a house. Mutar ba aliyah de Rameir. He's allowed to enter the aliyah. The aliyah is the second story. So, I don't think the construction is like our homes. It means like there's a clearly divisible, you have an upstairs and a downstairs, and the upstairs is like a separate unit. In other words, like people, the way Rav Kati says it would build something on the roof, but you have a separate compartment up there. So according to the Tanur Meir, when a person refers to a bayit, he's not referring to the aliyah. But Chachamim omrim, aliyah b'chol abayit. The Chachamim say an aliyah is included when you refer to a bayit, an aliyah is included. But they both agree, hanoder min ha'aliyah mutar b'bayit. If a person takes an eder, he's not going to go into the aliyah. Everybody agrees they can go into the bayit. Okay, let's just take a look. Let's look at the Ran, the top line of the Ran. According to Meir, Aliyah is not included in a bayit. Rabbanim pli yilei gesfir lehu d'aliyah b'chla bayit. Mi modu d'anodir min aliyah mutar b'bayit. But they agree that if a person takes an eder from the aliyah, he's allowed to go into the bayit. Okay, any questions on the Mishnah that we just did? Everybody good? Okay, let me go further.
So, but is this like an attic or something? Can we say that?
So that's what I was saying. You know, I don't think it's an attic. I mean, it's an upper story, but it means it's like an upper apartment in the house. You have the downstairs house, maybe like the split homes in a way they have in Kew Gardens Hills.
Two family houses.
Right. Is it? But in other words, like upstairs is one, you know, area, and it would be, I think, an entranceway from the outside of the house. You know, although we saw in the Gemara that sometimes they would have a ladder from the Aliyah, but it's like a clearly separate entity. Okay, so let's see back in the Gemara. So the Gemara says, Man Tana. Who's the Tana of the following Braisa? Now the Braisa is talking about Saras, Sarat Abayit. We know Saras could be in the person, it could be in the Begit or the Bayit. So this is talking about Sarat Abayit. So the way the Ran understand has the Gemara, it's Bevet. Like there's a Pasut, you know, Kitavo Eleretz Kananash, you know, it's Lechem. I'll give you negatrab b'vei eretz achuzerchem. But the truth is, even though the Ran has it that way, others want to say that it's not talking. And see, it just says beit beit yotaf. So the Ran takes it that he's talking about this pasuk b'vei eretz achuzerchem. But it's difficult because the Gemara is going to learn a ribui, and in a few lines, the Gemara is going to learn miyuk from that pasuk. So others want to say that it's talking about babayit. In other words, the word babayit. It is mentioned several times by the Tzaras. So it says Tana Bebeit or Babayit L'Rabodin Hayatzia Bebeit L'Rabodin Haliyah. So it's Bebeit or Babayit. In other words, it teaches me now. There's two ways to read this Brisa. It really doesn't make a difference for our purposes. But the first ribui is the Yatzia would be an annex. Like if an annex to the house, so it means if the house is declared to be a Beit, you know, with Tzaras. So it includes the Yetziyah, and then B'bayit L'Rabot Aliyah includes the Aliyah, which is the part we do need. Now, the Ran learns that it shouldn't be Yetziyah here. The Ran learns instead that he thinks it should be Hatzavua, which is like the one that's like painted. In other words, he quotes Tzavua. In other words, it's colored, but it still can be Mekabel Tumah. In other words, sometimes by Begadim, if they're colored, they're not Mekabel Tumah. But here, by the house it is. But the key we need is the Rabot Aliyah. So it means like this. Left to my own devices, I would say the Aliyah is not included in the Tzaras, the house. But with this Ribui, it tells me that it is. So who is this Braisa go according to? So Amar Rav Chista, Rameirhi. So Rav Chista says, this Braisa goes according to Rameir. Remember, Rameir in the Mishnah said that if a person knows they're going to buy it, he's mutar b'aliyah because the aliyah is not included with it. He says, "De'i rabbanan, tami rabbanan, aliyah b'chol habayit, lam likra b'veit l'ribuya." So, according to the chachamim, what do we need a ribuy? You know, is bayit ipso facto includes the aliyah? So the only one that needs the ribui, Rav Chista, you know, reasons, is Remeir. So the Gemara says, Abaye Amar, Afilu Tamer Rabbanan, by a krah. Abaye says, I could even say that Braisa goes according to the Chachamim, because even the Chachamim will say they need a pasuk. Why? The Sakhadai Chachamina, now here is where we have Beit Eretz Achuzachem. The Sakhadai Chachamina, Beit Eretz Achuzachem Ktiv, the Mechaber Ba'ara Shmei Bayet, Aliyah Halom Mechaber Ba'ara. I might have thought like this, that the Torah says, V'natati Negatzerad, Beit Eretz Achuzachem. In other words, the Bayet that's attached to the ground. That's what the Gemara is saying. So the way I think that's easiest to, you know, kind of reason it out, in other words, this Bayet is like a separate, you know, residence upstairs in the Bayet. So I would have thought that the Bayet is not contiguous with the ground, even according to the Chachamim. So therefore, it's not Mekabel Tumor. It doesn't get Tumat Sarad. So Kamash Malan, that it does. Okay, so let's just review once more. So we said in the Mishnah, we had a machloka between Remeir and the Chachamim. Does Bayit include the Aliyah or not? So Kuz Remeir does not, and Kuz Chachamim it does. So then we had this Limud that it's either Bavet or Bayit. It's a Ribui that teaches me it includes the Aliyah. So who does that Brisa go like? So we thought, Mistama, it must go like Rav Meir. Rav Chista thought that way because, in other words, just if I have the halacha, I'd say it's just the bayit. And then with the ribui, I know that it's even the aliyah. Meaning, if you have tsaras and the bayit, so it includes the aliyah. Is also considered to be tamei. So, but then the Gemara says no. It could even be. We could even darshan this out according to the chachamim, because I would think that even the chachamim will be modeh, where they'll say that maybe tumat tsaras is only with the bayit that's attached to the ground, not the aliyah. So Kamash Malan, it is. So either way, so it's not Mukhraf one way or another. Let me do another 5-6 lines, then we'll do some Ran, and then I'll pause. Okay, so the Gemara says, Kaman Azlaha Damara Avuna Barachiyah Mishmei De'ula. So according to whom does the following statement fit in? It says, Bayit Beveiti Ani Mocher Lecha. If Reuven says to Shimon, I'm selling you a Bayit Beveiti. In other words, we think it means like a compartment within my house. It's like an apartment in my apartment house almost. So he works this out with the Kona, with the purchaser, and they agree, and the purchaser buys it or whatever, and then the seller shows him the Aliyah. So he says, Tama da amalei bayit shebeiti ni mocher lecha. So the implication is, he said, bayit bebeiti. In other words, it's like an apartment within my house. So he can show him the Aliyah. About bayit stam, but the implication of Rav Huna would be, if he just says buy it, it's not the Aliyah. Buy it with AT, a compartment in my house, he could do the Aliyah, but buy it alone, not. So we think that's lame or Meir. Should we say that this statement of Rav Huna goes like Meir? So the Gemara says, no, I could even say the Rav Huna's statement goes according to the Chachamim. My Aliyah, well, in other words, not, in other words, when Rav Huna's statement is that by Beitini Mokel Chamariu Aliyah, so we thought it means the upstairs, you know, attic or the compartment or the second floor. So he says no, my Aliyah Meula Shabbatim or Shabbat Chasim in some have. In other words, it means not the upper story, which is what it means in our Mishnah, but it could mean like the best thing that I have. And it was the best of my Batim. So he's saying that. Rav Huna then would be saying that if he says bayit bebeiti ani mocher lecha, I'm selling you bayit bebeiti. I'm selling you the choicest of my houses, my apartments. So mar eu aliyah, he must show him the best one. Now, so then it's got nothing to do with our machloket here in the Gemara. All right, let me just do some rounds and then we'll take some questions. Okay, welcome, Michael. All right, we have a big crowd on Zoom. But we just have some people walking now for the live transmission. All right, now let me just do this. All right. Let me just do a little bit of the Ran. Everybody with me? So the Ran, the fourth narrow line in the Ran, he says, "Bebeit dechtiv v'nigei batim dainu bebeit eretz achuzachem rabotei hayatzia kach yigirs chamanutzaot." So he's going with the original brisa that we had yatzia. The Amruba Tosfot lo darsin alei. So Tosfot, that's not the right gear. So the Torah kun in Tanya Ipcha, the Kirota by it, lo Kirota Yetziyam. So there's a Bryce that says that indeed the walls of the Yetziyam are not Makabal Tuma. Nun Baba Manalev, He says, "Lepicha katav Rav Moshe Bar Shnei Yorzal lo garsina hachi atziel savua." So here should be savua klomar beit savua meaning savonim. In other words, it's like colored or painted. Special ribu. I would have thought I'll learn from the din from nigi begatim shet spui mina matamim begatim. Colored clothes are not subject to tuma. The tiv tzemeru pishtim says wool and linen. But pishtim shlo nishtanu, just like the linen, I guess they wouldn't dye it or whatever, they couldn't dye it. A tzemer shlo nishtanu, kamashlan ribuya. Okay, now let me see. All right, I guess we're okay with this. Okay, let me just summarize what we did for the people who came in, and then we'll take some questions, comments, and thoughts. Okay, so Lidvahlanal 56a. So the first piece of Gemara, there was a machloket between the Tanakam and Rav Meir. If a person takes a neder, he's not going to enter a house. Does that include the aliyah or not? And we said that Bizman Chazal, aliyah, I don't, like, the construction wasn't like we have today, like you're going, like, you know, it's like part of the house. In other words, you build your house, you build your roof, and on top of that, you build another apartment on top of the roof. So if he says that he's making a neder, he's not going to buy it, does it include the aliyah or not? So Meir says it does not include the aliyah. Is it green light to enter the aliyah? And the Chami say, no, it does include the aliyah. But they both agree that if a person takes a neder, he's not going to enter the aliyah, then he's definitely allowed to enter the bayit. That's that piece. Okay, then the Gemara had, you know, some questions like from a Braisa. So the Gemara quoted a Braisa, it taught a ribui that teaches me that the aliyah is included. You have, you know, the Bais HaManuga, you know, the house with Taraz. So the Gemara had a special ribui, like a ribui from the Pasuk, to teach me that the aliyah is included. And meaning if the house had Taraz, so the aliyah is included with the Tumah. So the Gemara says, who does that go like? We think it goes like Rav Meir, because Chamim, it's obvious I don't need a ribui, it's all part of the bayit. So Rav Meir requires the ribui. That's what we thought. And the Gemara said, no, I could even say it goes according to Chamim, because the Chamim, this pasuk says, Beit Eretz Achuzerchem. So I would have thought the only thing that's Mekabel Tumah is that which is attached to the ground. The upstairs is not. So Kamash Malan that way. Okay, so that's not one Malan Amorid. Then the Gemara had another statement from Rav Huna. The Gemara said, if a seller says to a buyer, buy it beiti ani mocher la, I'm selling you an apartment and I buy it, and he doesn't specify which one, and the buyer, for whatever reason, goes along with that, the seller can after mar'ehu aliyah, he can show him the aliyah. So the aliyah is usually more inferior, so he shows him the aliyah. So the Gemara says, who does that go like? So we thought that Mistama, that it that goes like Rav Meir, because if it would be, because he says, buy it, Beit, I'm showing an apartment in my house, so then, like, there's more than one apartment in the house, so this includes the aliyah. But if he would just say, buy it, it's just a lower compartment. So we thought it would be like Rav Meir. And the Gemara says, no, it could even be, Rav Huna can even be like the Chachamim. When Rav Huna says, Mar'ehu aliyah, it doesn't necessarily mean the attic or the second floor. Aliyah means the best that he has. So let's say he's got a number of homes or something like that, or within the home, the better the apartment is the lower one. So Mar'ehu aliyah can mean the best. Okay, so the point is that the Gemara was trying to, you know, adduce proof for a mayor, but both proofs were deflected. Okay, who's had questions, comments, and thoughts on anything we did so far? Everybody good?
Does the Ron Paskin who? Because he usually does who we Paskin like.
So one second.
Do we go strict?
Well, he poskins about the selling. I don't know about the tumah. But you see from the Mishnah, just looking at the Mishnah, it looks like we, at least the Rambam, looks like he poskins like the Chachamim. That Aliyah was a Klal Habayit. That's the way it looks like from Mishnah.
It's also Nedarim, so we go strict, so it makes sense.
All right. So I'm gonna move forward unless anybody, that's it? Okay. So let me see, how many people we have on Zoom here tonight? One sec. Let me see a look.
Five plus you.
Yeah, all right. One second. Oh, I don't. Oh, here we go. Yeah. All right. You're right. Okay. So let me show you who's here. We have Dr. Parvis here and Michael Press. Okay. So let's see back in the Gemara. Okay, so I'm on the second Mishnah, Anun Vav Mem Aleph. Everybody with me? Okay. So again, we're just trying to construe different nedarim. So Manitin, Hanoder Min Amita, this is an interesting sort of neder. If neder, he's not going to, you know, benefit from a bed. Hanoder Min Amita. Now, Amita can mean a bed, but also they use it like a sort of couch. So Hanoder Min Amita, Mutar B'Dargash Dibre Meir. He's allowed to use the Dargash. So the $64,000 question in the Gemara is going to be, what is a Dargash? So the Gemara is going to have two possibilities. The first, the Gemara is going to think it's like a good luck bed, which the Gemara will explain shortly. And then the Gemara is going to reject that. And then the Gemara is going to say that a Dargash is like a leather bed that you can sort of like take apart or loosen the mattress. We'll see what's going on with that. But Chachamim Omrim, Dargash b'chal mita. Some say Dargash is included with mita. I know Derman a Dargash mitar mita, but everybody agrees the person's an eder is not going to benefit from the Dargash. He's allowed to benefit from the bed. So the let's see in the Gemara. So the Gemara says, "My Dargash. What's a Dargash?" So Amar Ula Arsa Degada. Arsa means a bed Degada. Let's look at the Ran, three lines from the bottom. Arsa Degada. No, he said that they would have a bed set up for the mazel of the house, like for the good fortune of the house. God a mazel. God a means a mazel. So let's go slowly. So it means like this. The malachim in Shemayim, so he's like got this bed that's like the tabot for the malach. It's going to be mazel. So I saw in the R school, the only thing they said we have similar is like Kisei Shel Eliyahu. It's like you have a Kisei Shel Eliyahu and Avi. So the Gemara entertains the possibility that the Dargash was a bed. It's just like, in other words, not a bed you would use to sleep on, but it's out of Kavod for this like Malach to bring mazel, good mazel for the house. Okay? So the Gemara is going to reject this, but let's just see forward further. So Amrli Rabban on the Ula. So the Chachamim said to Ula, now Ula is the one who said that it's Ars of the Gada. So Chachamim said to Ula, we learn the Mishnah in Masech Sanhedrin. Shein Mavrin Oto. Now this is talking about if you have a Melech, a king, is an Avelos. So you know he's coming back from the cemetery and they want to give him a Sugas Havra, the first meal, and they come back from the cemetery. Shein Mavrin Oto, when everybody is Mavra for the king, Kula'am Mesubin Al Aret. So here, everybody sitting on the ground is not the Avelim, the people who are coming to bring the Sudas Havra for the king, who may see Bala Dargash. And he, the king, is going to be reclining on the Dargash. So that's the Mishnah. Now again, Ula says Dargash means this sort of like honorific type of bed, not that you use it. So he says, Kulashatali Layatibala, Ahu Yomi Yatibala. So the Gemara says, does that make sense? The whole year, he never uses Dargash because nobody uses the Dargash. And now, just now, when he's Avelos, he's going to sit on the Dargash. So that's a kasha against Ula. In other words, so the Gemara says, it's sort of an interesting turn of phrase now. The Gemara says, Matkif la Ravina. So Matkif la Ravina means Ravina is deflecting the question against Ula. Matkif la Ravina, Mina de Hava Abbas Serviyayim. Why is it not the same as meat and wine? Meaning, the Kudushata Ibayachil Vibay Loachil. The whole year means that when he wasn't in Avelos, he wanted to eat meat and wine, he could. He doesn't want to eat, he doesn't. Ahu Yoman on the Avinalei. Today, when he's in Avelos, we give him the meat and the wine. And it means that for the Sudas Havra, that's what they would do. They would serve meat and wine. So let's look at the Ran, two lines from the bottom. When one says, Shuma Prinoto. So the Ran says, the Kohen Gadol, and in brackets is Sarich Lamar Lamelech, Shiralo Abel, Manitini Per Kohen Gadol. He says, the bed is just there for the star habayit, for this, you know, heavenly being, like a malach. Where do you get to be able to do that? So the Gemara is saying everything is a little different now. In other words, you know, the whole year he can eat meat and drink wine or not eat meat and drink wine. Now the Sudas Havra, that's on the menu. And the idea is like, you know, like to Sheikhar Lovaid, like we try to give intoxicating beverages when the people are available. So we had a question and the Gemara deflect the question. Okay, who's got questions, comments, or thoughts on anything I said so far? Everybody happy?
All right. Ula said it's a good luck bet.
Right.
And then we tried to reject it by saying that the king uses it.
Right. In other words, so we said, the Mishnah says, Meforash, when the king's Avelos, he's reclining on the Dargash.
Well, Ula never said it's being used. Ula said it's just...
No. So again, Ula just said a Dargash is this Arsa Degata. It's like a good luck bet.
Yeah.
So presumably it's just left vacant the whole year.
Okay.
And yet the Tana of the Mishnah in Masechet Sanhedrin says that when the king's in Avelos, he's going to recline on this Dargash. So that's what the Gemara asked. Does that make sense? The Gemara says, Pushat Yatibullah. The whole year he never sits on this bed. Right. And now today he sits on it. Everything is different than that. Okay. Okay. So let's see back in the Gemara, where this is now five lines from the bottom. Elo Hakasha. So now we're asking another question against Ula. The Tanya, we learned the Brisa, Dargash lo yakofeyu el zokfo. This Brisa is just talking about Avelos in general, not necessarily the king. You know that when a person's an Avelos that didn't in the Gemara, is that you have to be kofa, well, the mito of the buyer. We don't do this anymore, but you flip over the beds that they would have. They would flip over the beds, would be upside down. So the only thing some people want to say, that the fact that we like cover the mirrors is a little bit like that. In other words, it's the idea that like the bed represents like the full stature of the person. Now everything's flipped over, he's not there anymore. So Bryson says, Dargash lo yakofeyu, the Dargash, he would not flip over, il is zokfo. I can't show you here because you're not here, but they wouldn't flip it over, you know, upside down, but they would put it up like perpendicular. It's okay if the Dargash. So he says, Biyamrit Arsa the Gadahu. If you're going to say this is like a good luck bed that we referred to, but Hatanya, we learn another Brisa, Hakofet Mitato, when a person flips over his bed because he's an Avelos, not only his own bed, the Avel's own bed does he have to flip over. Every meat in the house, he has to flip over. So if you're supposed to flip over the beds, and that's so, and Dargash, we think, is this like bed that he's using, you know, a good luck bed. So how come he's not flipping it over? How come he's okay? So, So Gemara is halal kasha. So Gemara deflects that question as well. Turn page, the top line in Amud Beis. Midin haba amita miyuchet lekelim. I can make an analogy. Now amita, again, amita is a bed. Amita is like a cushion. But let's say I have amita that I use to put my pots and pans, whatever kelim I have there. So he says, then I don't have to flip it over. The Tanya, imaita amita miyuchet lekelim. If he had a mita that was designated just to serve as like a shelf, in other words, to hold the kalim, ain't serich kapotah. So you don't have to flip it over. So that being the case, so there is a precedent that you have a mita. You don't, in other words, all the mita in the house we do flip over. So how come this dargash I'm not flipping over? So the Gemara says yes, not every mita. If the mita is used for kalim, I'm not flipping it over. So the Dargash is, you know, just like, you know, hanging around there, not using it as a bed. So it could be, we entertain the possibility that the Tana is saying, I'll just, you know, put it up perpendicular. So again, we had another question against Ula, and the Gemara has deflected both questions. All right. Any questions, comments, or thoughts on what I just said? Everybody good? Okay, let's go back on the Gemara. So line 3, Eli Kasha Hakasha. So now the Gemara says, though, if there's a difficulty with Ula's Hesber, this is the difficulty. The Tanya, we learn in the Braisa, Rabban Shimon Gamliel Meir, Dargash, Matir Karbitav, Uhuno Fail Me'ilav. That the Dargash, he loosens up the loops, and then it's no Fail Me'ilav. Now we're talking about, you know, Velus. So it's Machloket. So the Tana, the earlier Tana, on Amid Aleph, said four lines to the bottom, and Vav Amid Aleph, Dargash lo kofeyu el zokfo. If you have a dargash, you put it up perpendicular. But Rabbi Shimon Galil disagrees with that. Shalil says, dargash matir karbitav. You loosen the loops, he says, v'huno fe'al me'ilav, and then it collapses on its own. Meaning that, and they have pictures in the art scroll, I'm sure that Shines has a picture there as well, I'm sure. But they, in other words, there would be, we're going to get into this, but we think, let's say, a leather mat, which is attached to the frame of the bed, and attached by straps to the side posts. So it's saying the dargash matir karbitav and ufemi lav. The e dargash arsa the gadahu, if the dargash is like this ceremonial bed or like good luck bed, karbitin miitle, why would it have karbitin? In other words, karbitin is if I'm the bed sort of like it can be disassembled. In other words, the surface of the bed, you know, can be dropped and take it down. But if the dargash is just it's there the whole year and never goes anywhere, so I would expect whatever is forming the surface, you know, of the bed would be more permanently attached to the side posts. So that's a kasha against the ula. Again, ula is an amara, and these are brises with tanaim. But from the discussion of tanaim, we think it doesn't sound like it's arsa degada. So now the idea would be that if we assume, though, it's not arsa degada, if we assume that the dargash, which is what the Gemara is going to say, is a leather bed, so it means like this, like they would have beds, sometimes the bed, you have posts around the bed, sometimes it would have like a lattice work of ropes would form the base of the bed. In other words, that would be the mattress. In other words, you have like tic-tac-toe boards with the ropes, and then you'd lie on the ropes, and then it's like a hammock or whatever. That would be one way. Or you have this leather bed where you have a sheet of leather and it's attached to the side posts with these straps. So that being the case, we could understand the way the article said that the other beds, they would flip over because they have posts that come out, you know, from the four corners of the bed, and the posts extend below the bed, below the mattress and above the mattress. So when I flip it over, so it's still suspended. In other words, there's no great damage. But for some reason, with this leather bed, the posts would not extend high up from the where the leather was. So it could be that they didn't want to flip it over and get the leather ruined. So it's saying that if a person's an avelos, the Tanakama holds, I'm going to lean it against the wall. I'll put it up that way. And this Tana says you just loosen the mat and release the mat. And either they said in the article, maybe he feels if the bottom of the mat touches the floor, it doesn't make a difference. But that's what we think is working with that. So this is a kasha against Ula. The dargish arsa the god who karbita mi idle. Ki ata Ravin, when Ravin came from Eretz Israel to Babel, Amar, he said, she'ilte lahumi rabbanan, I asked one of the chachamim, Rav Tachlifa barma rabba shmei. His name is Rav Tachlifa Bar Ma'arava. Bar Ma'arava means like, I don't know if it's like somebody from the West, but Mistami, he was in Eretz Israel anyway, but he says, so Rav Tachlifa Bar Ma'arava, so he was in Eretz Israel, he asked Rav Tachlifa. I guess there must have been another Rav Tachlifa, maybe in Bavel. So he's saying this is Rav Tachlifa Bar Ma'arava. I assume that's the pshat. He says, the Habashchir B'shukat Tzalai. He was very familiar with the leather market. He says, Va'amarli, he said to me, this Rav Tachlifa, my dargash, what's a dargash? Arsa the tzala. It's this leather bed. So not like we just said up till now with Ula, with this good luck bed, the whole zah, that's out the door. Rather, now we're revising our understanding. We're saying that the dargash is like a leather bed. The dargash is a different type of bed. It's a leather bed. Okay. So the Mishnah says, I know dir min amita is mutar, but dargash remains. So a person takes a neder, he's not going to go into mita. He's allowed in this dargash, because dargash is a whole different parsha, he says. And whereas the chum we say dargash is included with mita. All right, let's see further in the Gemara. All right, any questions, comments, or thoughts on what we did so far? All right, let's go. So now, okay, itmar, ezu mita ezu dargash. So now we've stated what constitutes a mita. What constitutes a dargash? How do I distinguish between a mita and a dargash? Amar Rabbi Yirmiya, mita misarginota al gabba. So Rabbi Yirmiya says, when it comes to a bed, and we said, remember, like the platform for the bed or the mattress for the bed is going to be like this lattice work of ropes. So mita misarginota al gabba. So mita, I wrap the ropes around the sideboard. That'll be a mita. Dargash misarginoto migufo. Whereas with the dargash, I have leather, but the straps are going to go through the sideboard. That's what we think. That's what we think the difference would be between the two of them. So Meifei, on this we ask a kasha from the following Mishnah. This Mishnah is Masechet Kelim. He says, clay eights, me'ima time kabbalim tumah. If you have clay eights, which are like wooden utensils, when are they subject to tumah? So remember, we've learned this before, that somebody is subject to tumah when the work is complete. In other words, it's a finished product, then it's susceptible to tumah. Now, that's me telling the kabbalim tumah. Hamita v'harisa, so the Mishnah says, if it's a mita, a bed, or an arisa, a crib, mishay shufein bo'or hadag, when he rubs the side post with the skin of a fish. In other words, he wants to like polish the wood. Apparently, it would take the skin of the fish. I don't know, to my way of thinking, the skin of the fish wouldn't last too long. Maybe the guy's got perfect skin, but apparently, that polishes it. V'imita mistareged al gabah, if a regular mita, which we just said, means the ropes are wrapped around the sideboard, he says, Lamali shifa or a dog. Why do I need, who cares whether the side posts are polished or not? I got the ropes are going around the sideboards. So why would the Tana say that I have to like polish the sideboards? So the Gemara revises the understanding as to what's a mita and what's a dargash. Ela havaha migufan. So the Gemara says the emes is that whether it's a mita, which has got like the rope sort of platform, or the dargash, which is the leather, they're both going through the side posts. Mita, aule v'apuke v'biziane. With the mita, the ropes are going to go through like slits on the sideboard. So that's what a mita is. And I need to polish it because the sideboards are visible. Dargash, aule v'apuke v'avakta. With the dargash, I have a picture would be nicer here, but dargash, there are loops that go through the side posts, and then there are straps, so I need to show them, but I'll take a look in a minute. There are loops that go through the side posts, and then there are straps coming out from the leather that are tied to those loops. So I have loops, and then I have straps attached to it. And that's the difference between a dargash and a mita. Oh yeah, I'm just looking at the picture that Michael just gave me. All right. Let me just do a few more lines, and then I'll pause. All right.
What does polishing the sides have to do with becoming tummy or not?
It means it's right.
Finished.
It's only makabel tuma when it's finished. So the Gemara is saying it's not finished until the wood is polished, and you polish it with the skin of a fish. But the Gemara is saying if there are ropes that go around the side post, well, who cares about it being polished? The ropes are covering it anyway. So the Gemara says no. Okay. Now, let me just do a few more lines, then I'll pause and we'll take some questions, okay? So the Gemara says, now the next few lines, we're really done with this sugya. Now, the next few lines just sort of side issues. Amar b'yakva bar'ach amar rebi, mita shnaklite yotzin zokva v'dayo. This is another halacha, which just relates to dina avelus. If I have a bed with like these like posts that come up from the middle of the bed. In other words, like a canopy bed where I have one post near my feet and one post near my head. It looks like a tent. So he says, Mita Shnaklite Yotin Zokva Vidayo. So that one I can't flip over because it's just got two posts. It's gonna, so then I put it up like on its side. You know what I mean? Like I lean it, let's say like lean it against the wall, that type of thing. Zofa means like I lean it like where it's going up, straight up. In other words, so like where my head was might be up and where my feet were down. It doesn't have to be against the wall, but that's the way you do it in Avelis. I'm Rabbi Yaakov, I'm Rabbi Shimon Levi, Halachik Rabbi Shimon Gamliel. So now, this Rabbi Yaakov, he's passing Rabbi Shimon. Shalil said on line 4, Dargash Batir Karbitav, Uno Family Love, that if a person's in Avelis with a Dargash, he loosens the loops. And then the whole leather mat falls down, and so he's not going to be zokei, but he's not going to flip it over because apparently then the leather would be damaged by being on the floor, or the part of leather that would face the person would be on the floor. So I just like drop it, and that's enough of a shinui for the purposes of a bailus. Okay, now all right, let's just summarize what we did, and then we'll take some questions, comments, and thoughts. So we started this whole sugya. We quoted the Mishnah, and the Mishnah said a person like a neder, he's not going to go into a mita. He's allowed to go into a dargash, according to a mayor. In other words, dargash is not included with a mita. Let me say, dargash is included with a mita. The person who netted from the dargash, everybody agrees he's allowed with mita. So we said, what's a dargash? So we had a whole shach of batari. We thought it was like good luck bed. But the Gemara ends up rejecting that and says Dargash is like a leather bed. In other words, where you're, there's a leather sheet for the mattress, and that's a Dargash. So apparently, like, people refer to it differently than a bed. You have a mitzvah is a mitzvah, and a Dargash is a Dargash. It's like, you know, never the twain shall meet, according to Reb Meir. So when people make a neder, they're not going to go bed. They don't mean a Dargash. You know, it's like in a whole category by itself. And the Chachamim say, no, it is included in the mitzvah. And then the Gemara had gotten to an issue. If a person's an Avelos, what does he do with the Dargash? So normally the bed you flip over, you know, so where you were lying was facing the floor, and where you were, you know, the facing the floor is facing the ceiling. So with the Dargash, though, it doesn't have posts. Like, there's nothing, like, you know, it was the regular bed had posts that go up above where you're lying. The Dargash, the posts end up where the leather is. So if you would flip it over, the leather would get ruined. So therefore, the Tanakhama said you'll just zokpo. You just put the bed up, like, you know, where, you know, the head of the bed is near the ceiling, and where your feet were is near the floor. And then Rav Shulam says, no, you're matir karbitav. You loosen the straps and let the leather drop down. And it could be that apparently this Tana holds that the bottom of the leather, if it touches the ground, it doesn't make a difference. I don't know why. Maybe, I'm thinking maybe he could pick up and roll up the leather. I don't know, but they didn't say that in the art scroll. All right. Anyway, that was the piece with that. And then we had some other things about but we ended up saying looks like Rav Shlomo Gamliel, that's what you do with the Dargash. Okay. Who's got questions, comments, thoughts on anything we did so far? Everybody good? All right. Let me see if I have anything to say on this. Let me go on. One second. Here. All right, we'll go on to the next piece of Gemara. All right, everybody with me? All right, so we're around 20 lines from the bottom on Nun Vavam Beis. Okay, so 56b. Okay, Manitin. Hanoder Menair, a person makes a neder, he's never going to go into a certain city. He says, Mutar Likanes the Tchumah Shal Yir. He's allowed to enter the Tchumah of the city. So, as Dafyomi people know, Tchumah, it was Tchumah Shabbos, right? So, Tchumah. So let's say you have a city, it's a walled city. So anywhere in the city is like Dalat Amos. I can walk all over the city on Shabbos. And then the Tchum, I can walk up to 2,000 Amot from the perimeter of the city. Then I have 2,000 Amot. So no German year, Mutarli Knes the Tchum Shal Yir. So a person makes a neder, he's not going to enter a city. He's allowed to enter the Tchum of the city. The Tchum he could enter. Basruli Knes the Ibura. Now the Ibura, which we've had before as well, we had this in Erevin. The Iburah, the city, is a belt that's 70 and two-third amod around the city. Let's say there's a wall around the city. So you have like a zone of 70 and two-thirds amod from the wall. And from the way it sounds like from this Gemara, it's not Bukhrach, it's Machloket LaHalacha. This Gemara is going to hold that you're really allowed to carry would be like 2,000 and 73 and two-thirds amod on Shabbos, because here, you know, the 2,000 amod is measured from the Iburah Shal Yir, from this belt around the city. All right. So, Hanoder Min HaYir, a person takes a neder, he's not going to enter a city. Mutar Li Kanes HaTchum Shal Yir, he could enter the Tchum, he could enter the 2,000, you know, zone around the city, but surely Kanes the Iburah, but he can't enter the Iburah, which is like this closer belt around the city. I will know them and buy it, but if a person took a neder, he's not going to enter a house. Asur min ha'agaf lefnim. When agaf lefnim means you have a door. I'm sorry that you're not here, but I'll try to do this here. I don't know if you can see on the screen. Let's say this is my. Let's say the Gemara is the door. So the part where the door hits whatever it hits when you close the door, that would be the entranceway. In other words, you could have like a little tunnel where the door is. You know what I mean? Like have a little. You know, covering, you know, to get to the house, but where the door, you can't press the door anymore. That's where he's not going to enter. Up to there, he can enter. All right, let's take a look in the Gemara. So the Gemara says, Manalan Iburat Damata Kamata Dami. Where do we, now the title of the Mishnah says the tchum of the city is not the city, but Iburashal ear, that is like the city. So the Gemara says, Manalan Ibura Damata Kamata Dami. Where do we know that the Ibura of the ear, like this narrow belt that goes around the city, counts as a city? If you made a net and not sense the city, can't it to the Iburashal ear? Right. Okay. So Michael says that one of the Mefarshim says that Ibura is like a pregnant woman. In other words, but he didn't explain. All right. Well, you're only saying half of it, Michael. All right. Let me leave this. Okay. Now he says here. So Gemara Manalan Ibura Damata Kamata Dami. Where do we know that the perimeter of the city is like the city? So Amar Yochanan, the Amar Kra. When Yoshua was in Yericho, I think it's this Malach comes to visit him. That's why I recall it. So my Yericho, what does it mean that Yoshua was in Yericho? Elim Yericho Mamash, if you say he was actually within the city of Yericho, Yericho Sugaretim Sugaret. The Pasuk says Yericho was all sealed off. In other words, they're trying to conquer Yericho. And that the Navi says when Yoshua was in Yericho, I think this Malach came to visit him. So what does it mean? Ella Shmamina Biibura. So the Gemara says, from here we can deduce that Yoshua was Biibura Shalir. He was close to the walls of Yericho, and that's when the Malach came to visit him. That's what the Gemara deduces. That being the case, so the fact that he's in the Ibura Shalir, nevertheless, the Navi considers it like being in the city, because it says, Vahibio Yoshua Biricho, even though he is Biibura Shalir. So the Gemara says that's nice. But Ema Afil B'Tchuma, who says that he was in the Iburashal year? Maybe he was in Tchum in the year. Now, we said about Tchum, so normally we say Tchum in our, by Shabbos or Dindar Rabbanan, and normally we think of it that way, you know, the 2000 Amot. But there's a Din in Tchum, even in the Torah. It says by the Arei Levim in Parshas Maaseh, means the Umarat Temichus year, Alpaim Amot. You measure outside the city 2000 Amot. So there's a Dinim for the city that relates to 2000 Amot that, you know, separate from the dinim for Shabbos, which fits in, you know, because called Tikkun Rabbanan came to write the Tikkun. Whenever the Chum established, they follow the model, the pattern that's set forth in the Torah. So he says, so Ema Pi B'Tchuma. So the Gemara says Haktiv B'Tchuma, but it says concerning Tchum Umarotem Michutz La'ir. In other words, the Torah says Mefurash that when it comes to the Chum, that's considered outside the city. So that's not a working shot by Yoshua B'Richo. By Yoshua, it says when he was in Yericho, but he wasn't in Yericho. So the Gemara says, by process of elimination, Yoshua must have been Be'ibur Ashalir, and that counts as being in the city. So that being the case, when a person takes an edder not to enter the city, he's prohibited from entering the Ibur Ashalir. Okay, who's got questions, comments, or thoughts on anything I did so far? All right, we're moving forward. Okay, now we're 10 lines
from the bottom. When Yehoshua surrounded the city, was it considered Michutz La'ir, or that he was in Yericho when he did that?
Well, the
Gemara. I don't remember.
Well, I don't know whether he's in or out when he's going around the city. Each day, every day they went around the city once, you know. So I don't know what the Sukkim say over there. But if they were in the Ibarashal, the city, then they're in the city. Otherwise, not. That's all I could say. All right. Now, let me just do a little piece here, and then we'll wrap it up. So, one application of the Gemara's discussion, whether the tchum of the city is treated the same as the city or not, relates to the correct way to write a get. When writing a get, the scribe includes the name of the city where the get is written. Do we consider the tchum area outside the city to be the same as the city or not? Consider, for example, the following question posed to the Panim Erot. There was a community of Jews who lived outside of a walled city in their own neighborhood. When a get is written, is it acceptable to write that the get was written in the city, even though the get was written outside of the city? Or perhaps they have to write and deliver the get within the walls of the city. So the Panim Erot answered that if the neighborhood outside the city where the Jews live does not have an independent name and is located within the extension, the Ibura of the city, is considered part of the city, and a get written in that neighborhood can be referenced as part of the walled city. Furthermore, even if the neighborhood where the Jews live is not within the extension of the city, but it borders on a non-Jewish neighborhood that is within the extension of the city, that is sufficient. Okay. Proof of this conclusion can be found in our Gemara. It relates to a person vows he will not enter a city. You probably don't anything. Anyway, we got the thing with this, and we went through the pasuk with Yeshua. Now, he then notes that in Krakow, the custom is to write that the get was written in Kozmir, the name of the Jewish neighborhood. Like, there's a Rabbi Cheska from Kozmir. So he says the reason Kozmir is referenced rather than Krakow is that that place has a separate name. Consequently, it should be appropriately identified in a get. Those places do not have a name for themselves, can be identified by the name of the neighboring city, as long as it's within the extension of a large city. I know there's a whole chachma about the names with the Gittin and how to what names to use and how to write the names. But anyway, but the point is that there's a little bit of a connection from our dinim here for the dinim of Gittin. Okay, let's see back in the Gemara. Now, okay. So if a person takes a neder, he's not going to enter the house. So again, when you have a house, like an entranceway, you've seen this, like our homes, we have a little bit of an entranceway, but sometimes in some older cities that I know I've seen photographs from Europe and in Israel, I think, or I don't know, but there are places where you see like there's like, you know, like a little bit of tunnel to enter and then the door opens and that's where it is. So the point is that where the door stops, that's the entranceway to the house. So he says here, so he says, but if it's outside where the door hits, then he's not prohibited from entering that area. That's the question. This is Mativ Rabari, so Rabari asks Kasha. Now, I was talking about, again, with Saras, with the Bayit. So the Kohen, he comes to a house, and there's some Saras there. So there's a whole, you know, protocol he has to follow. The Kohen leaves the Bayit, and he's going to declare this Bayit is like, what do they call it when, like, not condemned, but it's you know, being quarantined. Like, the Bayit's in quarantine. I might think the Kohen can go home, then quarantine the house. And here, the Ran says, V'yaskir means to close off the house. The Ran, 10 lines above where it gets wide, V'yaskir al yideh chevel aroch. He's using a long rope. In other words, he's going to close the door and declare it like quarantine, like nobody can enter that house. But a different shot, which I saw in the art scrolls, is that he'll send a shliach. But either way, I would have thought that he could do that. He says, Taman Lomar el Petach Habayit, that he has to be in the Petach Habayit. El Petach Habayit, Yachol Yamotach Hanamashko Fiaskir. So I might have thought that he, the Kohen, could be under the, like the lintel of the door and close it. Tamalomar min habayit adshit se min habayit kulo. He's got to totally leave the house. Haketzad omeid betzad amashkof yaskir. He has to be like right outside the mashkof. Now, I'm sorry you're not here. I could like more demonstrate physically with you. But the idea is, we said like you have like this little sort of overhang. The door is in there. So we said that for dinam of nedarim, you can go up to where the door closes. But here we're saying that the Kohen for the Dinaim to kind of declare the quarantine with his house has to get out of the Mashkof, anything that's like, you know, hanging over like the entranceway. So it sounds like it's a stira. So he says, Yachol Yamotach HaMashkof Yaskir, Tam Lomim Min Abayit, Adshi Tzim Min Abayit, Kulo, HaKeitzad Omid Tzad HaMashkof Yaskir, Uminayin Shemalach LaBeito B'Yaskir. How do we know if the Kohen went to his home and he violated Lacha and then he like closed off the house? Or he was standing under the mashkof and he closed his good. In other words, v'iskir to buy it, another phrase I assume v'iskir to buy it, under all circumstances, the buy it is not condemned or whatever, or quarantined. But the point is that the Kohen has to leave the house and we don't say he's just outside where the door is, he's got to leave the whole mashkof area. So the Gemara says, Shani Gabi Bayit, Ati Ben Abayit, Achit Simen Abayit Kulo. So the Gemara says, look, you can't compare the two things. It's like missing Kasha with one, like we like to say. He says, because by the Negayim, it says, Min Habayit. Let's look at the Ran, last Ran. Okay, the last narrow line of the Ran. Shani Gabi Bayit, Ati Kura Min Abayit, Achit Simen Abayit Kulo, the came in the Kabarakban Min Abayit, Yitera. In other words, the phrase Min Abayit is superfluous, the Ran says. The Rabuya Yitzia Acheret to include another exit. He says, Ata, he's got to totally leave everything that's like covered over, like the Mashkof is like lintel, but the staha, ilokti ben abayit, el biyatzak when el petach abayit. If the Torah would have just said, biyatzak when el petach abayit, habin adome tach mashkov from askir, I would have said, he can, like, close off the house even though he's under the mashkov. Once he's beyond the point where the door closes, he's outside. So that's the point he wants to say. So that's the limud in the Gemara that we have minabayit kulo that he's got to probably leave for that. Okay, let me just do a little bit more, and then that will be it for tonight. Any questions, comments, thoughts, anything we did tonight? All right, 1 minute.
So min habayit teaches us he has to be fully out. Min habayit
out further out than the neder would require. Yeah. Further out. Okay. So, all right. Now he says here, the position which the Kohen assumes as he declares an infected house to be quarantined is used to define the precise definition of what is meant when one prohibits himself from benefit from a house. The lack of impurity of a house presents us with a fascinating insight to Torah's sensitivity in this regard. He's going to go through and say how the Torah wants to help you, like, protect your property. Rashi explains that all the while that the Kohen does not become involved with it, law of impurity does not take effect. This means that until the Kohen arrives to inspect and then make his declaration of impurity, the owner of the house has the opportunity to empty the house of its contents, thus preventing these items from being included in the Kohen's declaration of impurity. Why does the Torah command that the afflicted house be emptied before the Kohen arrives? It could have allowed the Kohen to arrive, and if he intended to declare the house as truly contaminated, we could then empty the house quickly before the declaration was officially made. Halacha is that once a Kohen arrives at his decision that the house is to be quarantined, he cannot delay in making his official declaration the house is tameh. If the house had not yet been evacuated at that point, at that moment, as the verdict is about to be pronounced, everyone would rush to retrieve whatever items possible from the house in order to save them from becoming tameh. Obviously, due to the time limitations, people choose those items which were most valuable first, and lesser items such as earthenware pots would be lost. However, now the Torah instructs us to remove all items before the arrival of Kohen, there will not be any impurity upon any of the items of the house. Without exception, everything would be saved, including the cheaper and simpler items, which otherwise would have been the first to be lost. Or Chaim notes the Torah is hereby showing its concern for the physical welfare of the owner of the house, that the earthenware vessels will be saved. They would have otherwise been lost either due to the fact that they would have been subject to ritual contamination without the ability for renewed purity, because they would have been left behind in the last minute rush to save items of value before the Kohen would have pronounced his ruling. Anyway, the point being that we give people the opportunity to take their possessions out of the house so they don't become tummy. All right, I think this is going to be it tonight. Okay, any questions, comments, or thoughts? All right, let me end the recording. 1 second. Let me end the recording.